breakout session of the day.
Yeah.
Got the 2 minute warning for you. Luckily, I think I'll go for about 45 minutes today and then kind of open it up for questions here at the end.
It's your show. We got plenty of time. So.
Yeah. I'll give you a little break here, though. So, the session's here. So, you never know what you're going to get kind of when you're towards the end. People are going to start clearing out. So, I'm glad to have you guys all.
Are you familiar with ILEA?
I'm sorry?
ILEA and the
MHA. Yes. Yep.
Okay, so they got their conference over here in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And they're all the time looking for presenters for Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody's cutting out on Friday, but they have a Saturday session.
Yeah.
And I did that 1 year, and I'm like, I understand why they want to do it, but no, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know.
Well, I think I heard that this one, they took 24 and they had over 125 submit.
Yeah.
So, I would have preferred to go a little earlier, but first year presenting here, so excited to be here. So, peek out the door here and get things rolling here. Give them about one more minute, and I'll leave that door open for a couple minutes, and we get some late stragglers in, and we'll go from there. So appreciate y'all being on time here today. We're going to talk about the importance of social media search warrants today. I've had a lot of experience over the last 15 years working these types of investigations and really trying to find the value in grabbing data from the Gmails and the Apple iClouds and the social media giants that are out there. I come from Lincoln, Nebraska is my hometown, right in the heart of the Midwest there, so. I've got about the same weather as out here. It's actually a little bit warmer back home right now. I'm excited to get back to about 55 to 60. But I work for a company called PenLink. Anybody heard of us out there? We do a lot of wiretapping. Originally started there with the federal government. About 34th anniversary is coming up here in April, and we really started out with a local agency coming to us and saying, hey, we got all these phone detailed call records, and we need to do something with these hundreds of calls. And in 1987, that's where we started. And then in 1998, we deployed our first wiretap system. And we've got those generally scattered all over the U.S. and all over the world. When I came on, we also developed a software called XNet. This was our first internet-based case analysis tool back in 06, and it was on a separate platform. And since then, we've combined all of these tools and developed a software solution called PLX. Now, my bosses, the two best bosses I ever had, said, if you got a problem, come to me with the problem, but also bring me a solution. And I want to show you a lot of the concepts and ideas and things that you can get for search warrants, but I'm going to have to sprinkle in a little bit of my solution here also, which is PLX, live and historical analysis tool to be able to look at really everything in one tool. You've got your forensics tools, you've got your phone or internet-based tools. This one combines all of it into one. And I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of PLX in today, but I'm going to talk a lot about what you can get from some of the different providers. If you got any questions, just go ahead and, like I said, we'll take about 45 minutes. So if you got a question in the meantime, hit me up or I'll stay a little extra at the end, too, for any of those. My name is Scott Toom. I've been doing this for about 15 years. I was internet banking for 10 years before this. I absolutely hated it. Love what I do today. I get to work a lot of high-profile cases. I'm dealing with one in New York right now. Four targets, 2.5 terabytes of Apple iCloud data. Been just kind of helping on the side with this one. Found backups within those Apple iClouds, which we're going to talk about. 10 homicide victims alone saved in these Apple iClouds. Things like conversations and recorded conversations in WhatsApp. It was a home invasion, which included the safe and the video as they're going through, breaking into the residence. This stuff is absolute gold, but 2 terabytes of data is just a boatload of data. It's very hard to go through it without a solution and a tool. And that's what I'm here to kind of talk about here today. Pemex's been in business, again, for almost 35 years. We worked a lot with the feds, but we also work heavily with many, many of the state agencies. We got a chance to go to the social at about 7 o'clock last night. Ran into a couple of folks that had previously used us when they worked in the federal agencies on some wiretaps. But what I really want to talk about is really the struggles that folks have today. Doesn't matter how small or how large the office is, if they write a search warrant, they're overwhelmed with a lot of data. They're overwhelmed with large volumes of data, too much data over, say, multiple targets. There's no standardized format for any of these companies. For example, Apple iCloud sends an encrypted GPG that's password protected. That's the format they give you. Facebook will either send a zip file or a PDF file. Many of the others send zip files that have HTML or XML-based data, or CSVs or XLSX text files, and so on and so forth. We're going to briefly talk about how a lot of time can be wasted in getting in location information for, say, login IP addresses. You can have that automatically resolved and really save a lot of time and be able to pinpoint that target. Towards the end, I want to show you an area that we've been seeing some extremely great success on cold cases, bringing in Google location data that can pinpoint me basically about a meter from my location as I'm standing right here. Really cool stuff. The big one here that we've been known for years is putting this conversation back together, and I'll just give you a couple examples kind of along the way. Being able to get that data and being able to get that in the hands of a prosecutor can really be key. So, as you know, cell phones versus smartphones. About 85% of Americans own one of these fancy little computers at their fingertips. So, when we're dealing with a smartphone, you know, what's the difference? What is a smartphone? It's basically that device can connect me to the internet. It can do everything. It can allow me to access email, hosting websites. It can allow me to check my flight that I'm jumping on. It's slightly delayed here today. Online purchases, any kind of banking, I was paying my bills just a few minutes ago. Being able to access just a plethora of videos and for me to be able to post those videos and images also. You know, they also actually have showing phone calls too. I rarely use that device to make phone calls now. I use it for such a wide variety of other areas. So you think about these cell phones over the years. Remember these? They started out huge. They were big and heavy and bulky, and they were that big brick. And they began to get smaller and smaller and smaller and more powerful. But predominantly, those cell phones make text messages and allow for phone calls. We look at the smartphones. They started out small, but they got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The screens just seem to get larger and larger. And why is that? Because of social media and the ability to watch and view movies. So they can pretty much do, you can do pretty much everything that a computer can do and more. So you start thinking about smartphone users. I started doing a little bit of research here a little while ago and started, I'm kind of a fact and figure guy. It's got to be interesting to me. That one's interesting. The average person, as you see, looking at their device, almost every single one of them's head's buried. When I go to the airport, I love to just sit back and relax, and I like to put this thing away, and I like to watch people. I don't make eye contact with hardly anybody at an airport because they're all buried in trying to figure out their device. 4 hours, that's an increase over 30% over the last 2 years on people using their smartphones. Some of the features here. The new features for the iPhone 12 and 13 in the past couple releases. Super fast chip. The processor's way faster. It's got a better display, and the camera is second to none. a lot of good stuff you can dwell from an online case. So when we look at this, and we look at your folks that are running these cases right now, when we look at that 85% in that full demographic, when we look down here at the 65 and older, only 61% of people at that age have smartphones. How many cases are you working of 65 and older? Not very many, I hope. This is where your concentration is. 95 to 96% of the people, 18 to almost 50, have one of those digital computers on person with them almost all the time. 89.5% of smartphone users are on social media. 9 out of 10 people have social media and check it on this device. Doesn't matter what it is. Might be Twitter, Snapchat, Pinger, Facebook, whatever it is. This data, you can get a search warrant for any one of these companies and be able to really tell the story of your case. Make it extremely incriminating. People, I get to speak all over, it's great, but I always have a naysayer in the audience saying, well, you're not going to be able to get the Google and Facebook data for much longer. It's going to go point-to-point encryption, you won't be able to do it. And I always call BS on it for this reason right here. Google's ad revenue in 2020 was $182 billion. They are taking that information for all of the different things that happen in those Google services, and they're collecting and storing essentially everything. Then, when I'm here in DC and I say, oh yeah, where should I go eat? Well, why don't you go across the street there and go have dinner over at that restaurant or whatever. They are constantly tracking me. As I'm sitting right here, we're gonna talk a little bit more about it. But as I'm sitting right here, this thing is basically in its kind of dormant mode. It's locked at this point. A Gmail email could come down and bing, come to this device. Google is tracking me as that is happening, amongst all of the other Google services that could be running on those other apps behind the scenes. They're storing and saving all that information. And I've got some really good stuff to show you here on how you can get that from just a simple search warrant. Facebook's the other one. Facebook was way above projections. They got over $115 billion. I'm not a Facebook guy, but I get on Facebook to see what's the new hot thing and the new trend going on. Every time I see, oh, there's that pair of shoes, those pair of running shoes that I was just shopping for earlier. How the hell did they get that? They're tracking all of this information, and they're storing and saving it. So a search warrant return. You can get these that are hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of pages long. Largest one I've ever seen was about 340,000 pages. Online pharmacy have their own site. And you're seeing message after message after message after message in the raw data. Now, if you have to do this for your job, this manual process, when you have to scroll down hundreds of thousands of lines or read millions of messages, it's very tedious. Snapchat, very popular communication tool. The message is deleted in 3 to 10 seconds is what Snapchat claims. You look at a message in a search warrant, and you see, oh yeah, here's the to, here's the from, here's the date and the time, and then here's this long media ID. That media ID, now I have to manually try to figure out that string value in these thousands of images or videos. Which one does it even tie back to? The data's great, but the way to manually look at this stuff is really difficult. And that's where the solution here is the company that I work for, the PLX tool from PenLink, allows you to see a homicide investigation. Where's the body? Here's one target, where I dumped it behind the house, and then there's the visual. Now, I know it's kind of a cheesy example here, but I bet you I've seen at least 10 of these examples in social media where they say, here's where the body is, and then the picture of the body may be there, or it's buried just like that. Very strong tool being able to tell the picture here now. One of my favorites now too, as I mentioned, the Apple iCloud warrant. These are phenomenal. If you have an Apple ID or an iCloud email, you can write for a search warrant on that account. And I tell you what, I've got cards up here. If you want your folks to get a hold of me on any templates, I have a bunch of different templates. The iCloud stuff is really important here. The two that I really kind of want to point out here is, one, you get the emails, but this one here, you get all of the backups. So on these devices, they let you, I think, have about 5 gigs of free storage. Individuals are going to pay the $2 to $5 to $10 a month to store and offload all of their images, all their videos, all their documents, everything on that device.
99 cents a month.
That's what you're paying?
That's what I'm paying.
Yep. If you did something bad, I bet you I could find it on that backup. Yep. Good point. Right here, though, we're finding examples here of the data here for an encrypted application like WhatsApp. You can go to you can run search for it, they'll tell you to go pound sand. They don't have the content. It never reaches and travels through their servers because of point-to-point encryption. But when I come in here, and I do use WhatsApp to communicate with some folks down south, the data for those conversations are all stored in a decrypted format so I can go back and read the whole conversation from start to finish. Guess what? When you back up and that 99 cents you're paying, you can turn off certain applications, but a lot of people have those turned on to back up by default. So we're able to see some of those WhatsApp conversations. I have about 1,000 recordings from WhatsApp on that New York case that I'm currently working on right now. They're all in Spanish, so I'm okay with it, but not too good. So I need a little help with that. But there's a boatload of other things out there. We even saw on an ICAP case where a guy did a remote delete from his iPad to his other iPad device. We saw that actually as the date and timestamp when that occurred. Here's what an Apple iCloud warrant looks like. It's a pain in the ass. It comes down as an encrypted data file. You got to jump through about 10 hoops to get to this point to go from folder to folder to folder on down the line to finally get into some of this stuff. We've simplified a lot of the process, and we actually take the ability to decrypt the file itself so you can view this stuff much, much easier. Here's the value of an iCloud warrant. If you come in here and you see all the backup data within the file, these are all JPEGs and other images, there could be a metadata.xml file, .txt file. If we go in and look at it, they're providing you intel. If the photo that I took and I had geolocation turned on, they're going to give that and extract that out to you. Date timestamp on the image. It's hard to see here, but the timestamp is 14863 blah 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 58. I said, well, what in the world is that? They actually kick it out to you, but it's in a Unix coded timestamp. So some goofy developer wrote this so they didn't put it in, you know, English for us to be able to really look at. Now, a tool like PLX though can come through and restructure that and give you that date and the time. Same way here, we've got geolocation here. This location at DNC area within the raw data itself, if you're looking for this, it's garbage until you put it into a tool here like PLX, and then you're able to decipher that and be able then to map it. It's going to save you a lot of time. Now, same way, I added this one in here this morning. I was talking to a gentleman over a drink last night, and he said, you know where I'm struggling is with the Gmail. Gmail kicks out an inbox file. It's straight up text. This is an actual image or a reconstructed HTML, but this is all just base encoded, it's called Base64 encoded messaging. It's garbage to me. This thing, you tell me what that is. Well, we come back through and reconstruct it, and we'll prove to you that, hey, it's an image, it's a video, or in this case, that's an Uber receipt. Yep. So that visual saves you a lot of time and headache. So if your folks are telling you, oh, I get Google, I get Gmail, and it's garbage, I don't have time to look at it, it gives me this. Well, true, they are correct, but we need to get you to this point to be able to really save them a bunch of time. These are just some of the different providers that we handle. I was talking to a few folks last night who use some forensics tools to try to jam this stuff in, and it gives them some form of intelligence, but it's a little difficult for them. So you take things like a Cellebrite extract. You can load that into PLX. You can auto-load your CyberTip line NICMEC information, along with any of these others, AT&T or Verizon phone records, along with social media and email. In fact, we don't just load the top 10, 20 of them for you. We load over 600 different companies. So I rarely see one come my way anymore, but the new hot social media giant that may come in, I'll get a sample of that, and we'll get that in our list for you. Now, these companies change their formats constantly. Facebook drives me nuts. They change their formats for date and time and all sorts of things. We've got a group of developers that help in that role and can get you viewable data, typically within just a few hours. Very important. So the old file format for Facebook search warrants used to be the old PDF file. They'd have hyperlinks in that file, so if the target deleted the data, if they deleted the incriminating video, it's gone. You would no longer be able to see that at all. They came out with a zip file format here about 3 years ago. You still have the option to get either one of them when you're downloading through the Facebook portal, either the PDF or the zip file. I tell folks, always, 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 always get the zip file because you get the audio and the video files. Even if they've been pulled, they've extracted that information out and they can supply that in their output file. If you loaded the data into PLX, I hear this all a lot. Some case agent or investigator gave me a file and said, here, load it and see what you can find. It's a homicide, it's an ICAP case, it's a home invasion, just whatever, go look, go dig through it. We have dashboards at the beginning that kind of tell you and give you an idea who the top 10 maybe contact IDs are. Is there, it's a little hard to see here, but is there any child exploitation information or child pornography in the data set? And other heat maps and other ideas and give you kind of things, maybe that could be some red flags. And then going into the analysis section. When you load the data, you can go directly into the analysis section. Then you can go in and start to really identify and read and look at the information. Calls, emails, accesses. This would be where the social media messages would be. You look at the social media messages, very small warrant from Facebook, only 22,000 messages approximately. You see a preview of the content column here, and you see one down here, could be a phone number, right? I could click on it, and I could view that information at this point and really get a good idea what's involved with that message. Let's not do that. I tell people, eliminate the noise. You got 20-some thousand messages. There's no way I could go through and click and click and click and click and view every single one of these. No matter how good of an investigator that person is, it's really hard to see that stuff. So use the power of the filter. You can filter down by maybe say unified messages. Those are the Facebook Messenger messages. That's the fancy word that Facebook uses. Now we've taken 21,000 messages down to something a little bit more manageable. Still way too many for me. And I'm not lazy. I just don't have the time to go through and click through 4,300 messages. If we click another button, this would give us the conversation view. Now we've taken 21,000 messages down to what is really 11 conversations with the click of two buttons. If I want to go into one of these conversations, I could simply come in and click the small triangle or carrot off to the side, and then it would give me the sender and recipient, but more importantly, it gives me this stuff. It gives me a preview of the small little smiley faces here. It looks like a phone number, a reference to a 45 here. We've got some good information. I can click on any one of those messages and dive right into the conversation now. So we're saving the investigators a ton of time, effort, frustration, and being able to let them come in here. So now, working that homicide, where's the body? Where I dumped it behind the house? You have record flags here. Perp, 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 okay? We got an arrest, finally took place. We've got the individual in custody right now. We have the ability now, let's say 6 months, 12 months goes by, finally goes to trial. I worked that case a year ago, and I tagged a bunch of things pertinent. I can simply go into the system now, click on the pertinent messages, and I can bring back not 21,000 messages, but the 55 perps that I deemed or tagged pertinent 6, 9, 12 months ago. I can still go back into the data and continue to look at it. But now I've got this stuff. I worked on it before. I've been worked on 15 other cases in the meantime. Now I can come in. I can export the data out. as HTML, as PDF, or even this spreadsheet look and feel, and I can identify whatever I want to give my attorneys, including the images, including the videos, and everything like that. This is the part where the attorneys like the conversational view at the top. It's a synopsis, the date of the first message, the date of the last message. How many of them have videos and photos? The color coding, white between gray, to go through the conversation, and then the preview of the images. So from start to finish, now we're saving those investigators an absolute ton of time. Now, instead of working one case, they can work 10 cases at one time and really use the power of the filters in here to help work the cases. So digital media is a key piece in here. You start talking images. If your investigators are randomly going in here and looking at images and they find one, boom, I got guns, I got drugs, I got this dude's partying and doing all sorts of stuff in here. That's the picture of the missing kid, though. That's the one we're looking for. Okay, great. You identify that picture right now, okay? What do we see in there? I travel all the time, and I stay at Marriott's quite a bit. I can tell you right now, that's a Marriott. From the bed linens, to the phone, to the nightstand, to the wallpaper. All right? Anybody know how many Marriott's there are in the world? Told you, I'm a computer guy, not an investigator, so I'd be pretty lousy if I came to my boss and said, hey, I got, look at this. It's almost 8,000 worldwide, okay? So I have no idea where that is. The visual's pretty good, but I don't know. Now, let me throw this same example out at you. You're going in, you're looking at the same thumbnails, this is in PLX, in the attachment section, you identify that particular image again. You see a number up in the corner. That represents that that image was sent or received by the target 8 different times. In a child exploitation or ICAT case, that could be relatively, that could be a big step, because if you're a state that hits on child pornographic distribution, you could hit that individual with 8 counts of distribution now at this point, if they sent those out. Now, how do you know where they link back to? This is the one feature I'm one of the most proud of. You highlight the image here, and it will give you all the communications, and it will link it back to all 8 of those original emails or social media message or text messages or whatever it came from. I can simply click on one of those messages now and go into the context of the conversation. Again, I can hit the record flags, perk, non-perk, privileged, and go that route. Important thing with these images, though, you have to ask in your search warrants, and again, I have samples of them, you have to ask for photos with EXIF data, exchangeable image file information. This is what Facebook gives you. They don't give you the original picture. This is another one. People always love to argue with me on this one. They say, well, yeah, Facebook doesn't give you the EXIF data. They don't give you the location data. They don't give you anything. They just give you a snapshot. You can't right-click on it and go into the properties. True. But if you ask for it in a warrant, they will give this to you as text. They will give you the uploaded IP address, which later you're going to see could resolve back to a specific location. The date and the time, the make and the model of that device, of that camera. We make an arrest, the person, we seize the camera at that point, and guess what? Now we've got the origination of that, maybe that child pornography. The main part, though, is that latitude and longitude down at the bottom. And so many of these missing kid cases where we come in, we get this, you ask for the EXIF data. Again, this is just a little excerpt out of the legal request. Again, I can get you this stuff, samples of those for your folks. But when we look at the image and we highlight that image, you can go put those into a mapping sequence, and we can identify, there's our Atlanta Marriott. Right from that information. And I'll bet you that case, you can work that case in about 5 minutes, if that. If you could identify that kid in the thumbnails there, would be pretty slick. Now, let's solidify this case even more here, okay? Tell you what, we'll come back to that in just 1 second. Keyword searching. We got keyword searching in here, 25,000 messages. You are working a murder case. Let's look for the words kill and murder. Yeah, yes, got it. We can do keyword searching. All right, here's where we go a little bit above and beyond. And think about this. You can import in a list of key terms. I get these from ICACs all the time. We've got 1,000 different ICAC terms, 400 different slang drug terms. I want to know if any of those words are in any of these, in this case, 195,000 messages. You can go and you can import that list in. Just comes in a CSV file. If you've got it, we can help you get it in there. These ICAC terms are relevant to here. I've got another one called 400 key drug terms right there I could also highlight in checkbox. Checkbox that, run the query, and see what we get. My favorite one, though, is the regular expression or the pattern searching. You come to us, you call our support group, and you can say, hey, you know what, I'm looking for something unique. I'm looking for VIN numbers. I'm looking for social security numbers, bank accounts, anything that looks like a phone number, maybe. Well, how about a U.S.-based phone number that's 10 digits long, that's 9 digits? This is what this combination is. Spaces, no spaces, parentheses, and all those other combinations. Let the system go out, not look for a specific phone number, but say in these 195,000 messages, are there any in there? And we run this query, 195,000 goes down to 23. You're the boss, or you are the boss, and you tell your folks, hey, go find some other phones to go up on. Well, here's 23. No spaces, parentheses, dashes, and all these other combinations. With the click of a button, now that's what the query that brought it back to. Now, that is going to save an absolute ton of time. If you go fishing and trying to find these, it's going to be tough. And you might miss one. You might miss two. Your folks are going to have a little bit of trouble, and they're going to hate their job, too, if they're going through that many messages. Got two main areas I want to talk about. One of them is really dealing with tracking and locations of individuals. You can gather from a subpoena login information, basic login information. You can even get a live feed of that same login information. A subpoena can grant you something as simple as this. A date and a time and an IP address where that target logged in from. Okay? I was here, I jumped on the free Wi-Fi up in the room on both my laptop and my mobile device, and I hit the free Wi-Fi. I logged into my Gmail account, it tagged it at the IP address that's located here in the block of IPs here at the hotel. So they got proof that I was here, or someone logged into that Gmail account a couple different times at this location. Pretty good stuff here. Facebook does the same thing. You ask in a subpoena, simple subpoena, for the login information. They'll provide that to you. But Facebook goes a few steps further. They not only give you login information, but they track IPs and dates and times of other transactional stuff. When and where a photo was uploaded. When a credit card transaction took place on Marketplace. If you're in an area where there's a lot of stolen good, you're working a lot of stolen good cases, Facebook Marketplace is awesome. People will go in and they'll take pictures, they'll take the picture right here, steal that device, and you can see that it was taken because you could see off the wall the imagery of the picture and the geolocation is on that image. Then the person goes and posts it on Marketplace and tries to sell it. So, or they take the picture of the stolen goods at their house and the geolocation is provided at the house where they took the picture. It's just, I mean, you all know how stupid people can be, but they kind of almost help you beg to get caught. Here's how this stuff looks again in our tool. The first 5 lines would be what we get and that's generated from, say, Gmail or from Facebook. The additional information, though, can provide you a location. In this example here, my target logged into a Facebook account using a Verizon Wireless in Puerto Rico's resource. Well, all right, he or she's in Puerto Rico. We also see logging in. I'm going over here to Reagan in a few minutes. If I hopped on the free Wi-Fi over there, same example. Las Vegas McCarran Airport. I'm tracking this person with a simple subpoena and the resolution done here with the Penleaf tool. Now, the beauty of this is, and I've seen a lot of these where we resolve these targets back to almost 72% at a Starbucks or a coffee shop. This person's going in, using the free Wi-Fi at a library or at a Starbucks or wherever. And you can see those patterns every Tuesday and Thursday, 9:30 to 10:30. They're meeting individuals there, but they're still online doing their thing. Here's that same example. We got the picture at the Marriott. Here's the login information that we also asked for. We see that the Marriott International was the individual logged in a variety of 12 different times here. There's the mapping of where the individual was logged in. Got he or she logged into the device at the hotel, and we have them on an external picture that they also took at that same location. Simple subpoenas and simple search warrants here that we're writing on this end. This is my favorite one of all right here, the precision location. Like I mentioned earlier, this little thing right here is tracking me wherever I go. You've heard it, even if it's turned off, they're still able to get you. I get people that always try to fight me on this one and say, well, you know, if you turn off the geolocation piece, they can't track you. Yes and no, they can't track you maybe on a Wi-Fi signal, but they can still track you on Bluetooth and GPS and cell signals and things like that. I haven't figured out a way to turn off all five different areas so they cannot physically track. So, and I talked to some of my smart Secret Service guys and some of those other guys too and folks in the world, and I haven't gotten an answer on how you turn it all completely off. This stuff is great. When you ask for location history, though, it's not subpoena data. It's classified as content. You can do a live intercept on it, or you can get it as a search warrant, but it does require a judge's signature because it's classified as content. Facebook will fight you tooth and nail. They'll reject it, say, gotta write a warrant for it. Just a quick sample, again, I can get you the go-bys, but defining location history properly is key on what they will provide. A target checks in at any point, you know, in a time range. We need to be, you know, hitting a GPS signal, whatever it may be. Make sure we define this correctly. Again, I've got go-bys for all this stuff. I don't want to bore you with legal requests. This is the one that I find extremely interesting. This thing gets checked approximately 86 times a day. That's once every 11 minutes by smartphone users. Think about that. It's locked right now, but I gotta come over here and I gotta either use my thumbprint or my facial ID or type in my 6-digit or whatever PIN. 80 times a day on average, that's what's happening for people. Now guess what? When that device unlocks, it opens a whole floodgate of more things that I can be tracked by. When it's locked in this locked state right now, they're still shooting out Gmail messages and other things. When I come in and unlock it, though, there's other forms on the, especially on the Apple device, that says, boom, green light, Scott's online right now. And a whole bunch of other applications, Microsoft Teams and Zoom and all sorts of other on WhatsApp and on Snapchat, and says, oh, I'm available. So think about that. That's a key piece. They're unlocking their phone or viewing that on average about every 11 to 12 minutes. Crazy. This is what a Google location history file looks like. You write this to Google in a simple search warrant, ask for simply location history. Here is the Gmail account in this example, or it can be a Google ID. The date and the time, but here is the cool stuff. The latitude and longitude, and they give you an actual accuracy on the data that they supplied you. They are now producing on a GPS signal, and many Google services, it doesn't have to be a straight up Google app like Gmail, they could be anybody who is a If I was in my parents' basement coding and creating an app and I can integrate into Google services are still tracking me on that device. They are getting people between 1 to 3 to 5 meters in proximity on the GPS. Five is stretching it a little bit. Now, I used to love to do this because I would get right within about 3 feet of you, trying to make you feel uncomfortable. With COVID, I'm not going to do that right now. That's crazy. They can get me within 3 feet of a precise location. I cannot tell you how many cold cases that I've helped work on where this is 5, 6, 7 years old. People need to put them at a hit and run, or it was a sexual assault that took place. I need to put this target at that location. You write this, and man, if they had the device on them, you could get really lucky. And it happens a lot. I have multiple examples of putting target and victim in the exact same spot, because both of them had Gmail accounts. Both of them had Google accounts. Facebook does the same thing. The only difference here is they provide you a date, time, and lat long. They don't provide you an accuracy. They don't give you that 1 to 3 to 20 to 30 meters. So it's still really good stuff. Snapchat now starting to provide a geolocations file also. They did the same thing. They can get that proximity. They are giving you that 4.96 meters, 39.66 meters. They're giving you that accuracy on that side. Now, the value that you have here within PLX is you're taking and loading that data in, and you're able to quickly map that information, and you're able to take maybe, say, a date and a time range of maybe a 15-minute window when you know victim and target were probably at that location. Again, sexual assault, homicide, what a hit and run, whatever it may be. If you've heard the term geofence, the geofence is very similar, except for you're making a fence around an area, you're writing a warrant, and you're saying who was in that area at that time. In my example here, I have the two data sets from both victim and target. I've isolated it down to a 5, 10, 30-minute window. It's kind of cool here. We can automate this. We see our target, and we see our victim here. You can even automate this where you see the dots come into this location, and you see one of the dots take off. What does that signify? She didn't make it out of there. You know right where she was at. You know the accuracy. That's right precisely the corner where we found the body. Or I should say where you found the body. Sorry, I get wrapped up. I like to help here. So, Google data. One of the last things I want to talk about, I want to take about 5 minutes and talk about live. Google, the Gmail email and the login information. I used to sit on my soapbox and say, you guys got to go get this data. People have been getting this data for a long time, along with the location history. The searches are the best. I go to these big, huge auditoriums with hundreds, if not thousands of people in them, and I'll say, who's doing Gmail? Yeah, everybody's got their, and then everybody puts their hand down when I say, who's writing Google searches? And your Google warrant asked for all this stuff. You're going to get device information, you're going to get the photos and the docs and Google Voice, all sorts of cool stuff. The map searches could be extremely useful. After they did this, if they did a home invasion, they searched for the address in their Google Maps. The searches are cool, though. Here, look at this stuff. I'm not kidding you. Multiple homicide investigations. I've seen it. How to dispose of a human body. Best place to dump a body. Swear to God, that's what they search for. It's in their Google history. Oh, they cleared their browser and their cookies and things. They think it's gone. Google's the best. Not only did you search for it, as a bad guy here, best place to dump a body, there's the website you clicked on 3 seconds later. Serialkiller.com. Now this one's so good. This one of my favorites. Nobody asked for it. This stuff is so powerful. I helped out about it, this one's probably been about 2 years now, but I was helping the local state patrol, Nebraska State Patrol, on a case, on an ICAP case. They got this guy, they proceeded to get him into custody, and we got the Google searches. He was searching for, I'm not kidding you, naked 12-year-old. In questioning, they printed this the search history off, and they were prepared. And they tell the story of the guy goes, I fat fingered that. I remember that. I was trying to search for Naked 21 year old. I'm into the college age, viewing that. Okay, well, why? And then they slid the paper across and said, then why did you click on a pornographic, child pornographic website? XXXKittyPorn.com. That is incriminating right there. No. You did search for it, and yes, you did click on the site after that. Really powerful stuff you can take back to your folks. Last area here, last couple minutes, I just want to briefly talk about intercepts. I was here, we don't have a wiretap law in our state and things. A lot of that's hopefully changing. Live intercepts are way different from a phone. A phone live intercept that we've been doing since, mid-90s, there's a lot of cost involved with those wiretaps on phones. You got to have monitors. You got to have monitors there minimizing and transcribing the information on the phone calls. Way different. These are great for uncovering intelligence. They're not solely in real time. There's a small delay. Facebook, Instagram kick out the collection of the communication and they kick it out to you at law enforcement every 15 minutes and so on down the road. Now, Snapchat says they'll do it once a week. Groups like Cal DOJ and others have really fought them, and they're sending it out actually much, much quicker. Usually about anywhere from 2 to 4 times a day, they're sending an output file. One of my good friends at Cal DOJ, he runs a bunch of gang operations, and he goes up on anywhere from about 5 to 50 social media intercepts. He used to do a ton of wires in the gang unit. He switched over, and they're predominantly doing all social media. That 18 to 24 demographic, they're not using phones for hardly anything. They're still up on the phones because something happens and then they do make that phone call, but rarely do they make phone calls anymore. He's a big believer in it. Here's how the process works. You have to create one law enforcement-based email account. So I always joke, you got to get with your IT folks, and it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get that to happen. We can help you with that area, but Facebook and others require a .gov or .org, not a .com email account. You got to write your legal paper for the intercept to happen. I've got a ton of those that folks at Cal DOJ and others have shared with me, and it's redacted. I can get those to you. You do those too. You send those off to Facebook. Here's what happens. They start sending you down an email every 15 minutes. Now, you got to go in, you got to click on the hyperlink here to download a zip file directly from the Facebook portal, and you got to do that every 15 minutes for the next 30 days. Now, this is how big of a pain in the ass Facebook is. They open up a portal for you for 1 hour. If you don't continuously enter that portal within 60 minutes, they lock you out. So guess what? When you go home and you got to go to bed and you got to catch a few hours of sleep, they just locked you out. Now, in the morning, you have to come back in, go back through the portal, send them a message in the portal through text and say, hey, can you unlock my account? Because you guys locked me out. That's Facebook for you. Now, we've automated this entire process. I'm proud of what we've done. We've heard it, listened to our customers, said that's horrible to be able to do. So instead of having to go into any emails, there's a Penlink service that resides locally on your agency's system within house. It goes out, it grabs the file, it basically clicks on this link automatically and brings the evidentiary zip file in. Anything happened in that 15-minute time span, all of that is ingested in and stored into evidence, and a working copy goes right into the database, which then goes over into the monitoring window for individuals to view as it's happening or in any type of delay that occurs. This is what it looks like. It's in three sections. This basically tells me I can monitor, in this example, 4 different social media or email targets. I've got one highlighted. There's a red, it says 30 in there. That tells me I have 30 new messages on that target. I go into here, the conversations are all broken out for me, most current at the time. I click on this conversation, and then this gives me the information that I need to see. I can read from top to bottom and see all the little smiley faces or images or video links in here, along with all of the other information via text. You translate and you can put a record for it. Pert, non-pert privilege now at this point. Now, I can't remember if I mentioned it, but the folks out in California, they said they, on one of the 30-day intercepts they went up on Snapchat and Facebook, they prevented 8 homicides in the first, I think it was 20 days of that intercept. The folks were going through, the gang individuals, targets were going through and saying, hey, go meet us at the corner of such and such. We're going to go in, guns a-blazing, shoot the clerk, shoot any witnesses inside the convenience store. Said, don't need any witnesses. 8 different occurrences, they stopped that from happening in just 20 days, and they ended up arresting everybody a little bit early on that game. So, biggest thing, you get data, you get a ton of good stuff, and like I mentioned earlier, on a phone wiretap, you're going to be paying monitor fees. You're going to be paying the companies alone, the AT&T and Verizon's and so on. They're going to charge you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to go up on really one wiretap on a phone. These are all free. They don't charge you anything. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TextMe, TextNow. I have not found one that's charging anything right now. Now, Google does have a small fee. I think it's $60 for 30 days. But I still haven't seen anybody get charged for it yet.
You think Zuckerberg on Facebook is going to start charging since he lost all that money?
I do not. And I get that question a lot. And that's a really good question. And I don't think it'll happen until somebody hits them and says, you need to start producing it quicker than 15 minutes. Somebody comes down and says, you need to set it in real time. Then I think they're going to come back and they're going to kick the expense on you. And so, which I don't want to see happen. Very rarely, they have, in exigent circumstances, I have seen it out in a couple different areas where they were sending it down real close to real time. One was getting it every 2 minutes. That was okay for exigent circumstances. And the other one, I believe, was getting it in essentially real time. So they can produce it if you ask for it, on exigent circumstances. This is my information here. I've got cards up here in front if you want. If you want to know more, if you want your folks to run through a trial system, we definitely have that all available. I can guarantee if people are struggling with it, I would hope 100% of the time I can make life easier for anybody working these types of cases. It doesn't matter what type of it is, from large to small to any geographical region, that social media, that email data is really, really good stuff. So with that said, thank you guys for all being in here, guys and gals. Anybody got any questions on anything?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah,
please. So you're dealing with like the iPhone stuff and the cameras and all that. This is weird. Have you dealt with Sirius XM radio?
I have not.
Okay, so stolen truck. Sheriff's Department gets a call. There's a stolen truck from Vandalia, Ohio. It's in your area. The detective got a hold of it. Well, what's it? Well, we've got the Sirius XM radio and the AFCON and all that. So they got a hold of Sirius.
Yep.
And they said, yeah, we can paint it. We can put you within 1,000 feet of the vehicle.
Yep.
So, okay.
I have heard of that.
So they called me out with the drone. So I'm down where this truck's supposed to be. Oh, yeah. I'm flying over woods and stuff. And we can't find it. Then all of a sudden, the detective says, they just called and said the truck's on the move. So we wound up over at the cemetery next to a freshly harvested bean field. So it's completely flat, right? And the lady on the phone goes, now, we got the bean field on Google. Yeah, Google Maps. The truck's in the middle of the bean field. Okay. And I'm looking out through the cemetery going, there's no truck. I looked over here. Is it buried? And I've heard from talking to other agencies that Sirius XM, they said, you don't even want to talk to those people. They have no clue what their system does.
Yeah, it's completely unreliable.
Yeah. But it was like, wow.
Yeah.
You might add that to your thing about whatever you do, don't go to Sirius XM.
Well, and I just want the pressure to be put on some of these companies. companies to actually do the stuff. But some of the license plate reading recognition stuff you can dump into here. So when you're hitting, going through the airport and things, Berla is another company where we've integrated with to be able to bring in that car information, kind of like the computer stuff and all too. But I'm always looking for any ways that we can help save the day. Makes me not want to pay them the $15 a month that I'm paying for Sirius right now after hearing that. But it, you know, just depends on how much pressure is put on them and if we can get any of things to change. Yeah. So keep
moving on.
Anybody else?
Good job.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Safe travels and get back. And thank you.